So back in the day, we played a game at my family Christmas yesterday that was you had to answer questions from kind of back in the day. It was, you know, Sputnik was one of the answers. You know, so it's back in the day. Some of those I do pretty well on, just so you know. I didn't do well on the whole test, because if you got them right, you got a positive number. If you got them wrong, you got a negative number. And just so you know, I probably, or just honestly, I scored 171 in the negative, is what I scored. So I don't know if I lived in my own world back in the day, or if it's just all kind of made up in there and nobody else kind of went with me back in the day. But I remember back in the day when TV went off at like midnight. And I remember that it came back on in the morning, like at 6 a.m. And it came back on and it had this test pattern throughout the night. Back in the day, it was started with a Star-Spangled Banner, right? It'd come on and you would see the flag and you would see it. Flowing in somewhere in the United States or whatever, and then you can start watching some TV, some around 6 o'clock. And we had 2.5 stations. I've shared that before. If it was winter time and you could hold your tinfoil antenna just right, you might get CBS. But ABC and NBC kind of were the only ones, and they come out of New York State, and they weren't all that great. So we lived in a dip and back on an old country road, and we didn't get a lot of TV. We weren't really TV people anyway, but I can remember the Waltons some, and I can remember Little House on the Prairie, and I can remember the $6 Million Man, of course. That was part of the quiz. I got that one right. But, you know, I can remember those things. But one thing I really remember, rather than Rocky and Bullwinkle as the cartoons, see, now we're talking real cartoons. I don't know what stuff is today, but they just ate the same. And I'm not judging the other generations. Yeah, I am. Your cartoons stink. You know, it's just the way it is. It just is. You know, Rocky and Bullwinkle, now that was cartoons. But you started Saturday morning, and when I was young, we didn't have a farm yet, so Saturday mornings, I had some cartoon time. If you got up at 6 o'clock, in which I was most of the time, and you could see the Star-Spangled Banner, and I always kind of felt something when that, even at a young age, I felt something when that was playing, because I think I was taught that in my upbringing as well. But then Saturday morning cartoons would come on. But intermixed in those cartoons, you'd watch a cartoon and maybe Tom and Jerry or Bugs Bunny or something of that nature. But then you would have Schoolhouse Rock. You know, and I wasn't a terribly good student. You know, I just wasn't. I still remember on number two on your handwritten, I got handwritten report cards. And I can still remember the comment section over here, and it was a number two or number three or number six or whatever you'd got. And it was a kind of a thing down at the bottom that kind of led you to that and say, this is what a number two stands for. And I don't remember anything else other than the number two. And a number two is, you look down at the bottom, it says, creates class disturbance. So I got a number two enough to know that what a number two was. And so I wasn't a terribly good student, but Schoolhouse Rock did something. And I remember different things of Schoolhouse Rock. I remember conjunction, what's your function, right? And I'm only a Bill. You know, I can remember some of those foundational things, I think, that Schoolhouse Rock kind of nailed. And it was the early 70s. Some of you have no idea. Maybe you would get poor scores on that quiz, but I would get fairly good scores on Schoolhouse Rock quiz. And I know the parts of the speech in the English language because of Schoolhouse Rock. And I know that there's multiple parts of speech, and there is a noun and a pronoun and a verb and adjective and adverb. You remember those songs? And I could start to sing some of those songs from Schoolhouse Rock, and the preposition and the conjunction and the interjection. Remember Reginald was getting the shot in his backside, and that's the interjection. Do you remember Reginald? You remember Reginald? He was sick and he had the flu, but he had to get a shot, and the doctor said, hey, oh, hey, oh! You know, that was the interjections. I can still remember Reginald exclaiming some interjections, right? I don't know if you can. Hey, how dare you give a shot to a young man down there? You know, he's getting in his keister, is what is happening. But that was part of the interjection I almost brought a clip because you just can't feel it. You're not feeling it. Some of you are. I see it. It's like, woo, I remember that. Some of you are like, just get on with it. Interjections. Interjections have a particular, they're necessary in our speech, in because the interjection is a short word or phrase that shows emotion. It's that time when you get to show emotion. And many times, if it's not strong emotion, then it's with a comma. If it's strong emotion, then it's with an exclamation point. In the English language, Hebrew is a little different. But in an interjection, I think you can push the button. An interjection is a short word or a phrase that shows a strong emotion. And thank you to Schoolhouse Rock. I know that there's volitive and emotive and cognitive interjections. And some of those are whoa, because they're a feeling, like Reginald. Whoa, I'm feeling something. And all of a sudden, I have this interjection. Then the emotive is more rooted in the emotion, where congratulations, well done. And that's part of the song on Schoolhouse Rock as well. And then there's this thought. Seriously? Their interjections where it's provoked a thought. So you have the interjections that this instantaneous feeling. Oh, ouch! If you're getting that, if you're a visitor here, it's this way every week. So don't. And if it's an emotive, it's an emotion. Something's come out of my emotion. I just can't contain it anymore. And then the cognitive, of course, is expressing out of your thoughts. You're verbally thinking deeply or thinking excitedly to explain what you're trying to think. And if we go to Psalm 40, Psalm 40 starts off with a interjection. Blessed. That's not a light word. That's a word full of, I think, of thought, full of feeling, full of emotion. Blessed. I don't think we say it right when we read it. I think we just read it like any other word. Reginald doesn't say things just like any other word. Oh, it's not. You see, that's not it. Oh, blessed. Something that's bursting out of my feeling, bursting out of my thoughts, bursting out of my emotion. It's bursting forth. And the word blessed in the Bible is a word that bursts forth. It's an interjection. It's not just your everyday normal noun or verb or adverb. It's an interjection. So when you read the scripture and it starts off, blessed, we sang some of those today. When you really should just stand up, and even if you're alone, say, blessed! Just to remind yourself it's an interjection. Not just a whole humdum word. It's an interjection. Blessed, and if you're reading from some translations, oh! The joy! See that? Oh! I think that translation probably got a little better. Oh! The joy! There's something going on here that I can't contain anymore. I call it a vinegar and baking soda moment. There's no way you can mix baking soda and vinegar together and not get an interjection. This is a vinegar baking soda moment. And young boys, if you don't, young ladies, if you don't know what that is, do it when you get home. You might want to ask your mom or dad. Ask your mom and dad. That would be good. But that's what I'm talking about. And what the psalmist has experienced, or what the psalmist is going to talk about, is it needs to be started with an interjection. It just can't be started in meanwhile back at the farm. It can't be started with that. Am I making sense today? It can't be started with that because it's bigger than that. Blessed, or oh, the joy of the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud or to those who turn aside to false gods. blessed. A strong feeling of a feeling, a feeling of feelings, or the feeling of emotions, or the feelings of thought, of the truth that's going to be proclaimed. In the next few words, he's going to start talking about some, what has generated this inside of me? And he makes this statement, the man who makes the Lord his trust, blessed, oh, the joy that comes flooding onto the man or to the woman or to the family that makes the Lord their trust. Woo! The psalmist is not, he can't, I just believe he can't write this or can't say this seated. I think he's pacing. I think he's got the Mountain Dew, you know, Hershey bar combination inside of him that just won't settle down. It's the man who makes his trust the Lord, his trust, his reliance, his dependency, his the only plan that he has. And if I'm talking to a truck driver, I would say his steer wheels, drive wheels, and trailer wheels, all his wheels are God. The people who make the Lord their trust, the Lord their all in all, the Lord their only plan, the Lord, the God, the Lord Yahweh, Elohim, my only plan, my only reliance. And then he goes on. And he compares that. How do I know that this man is blessed? Because the psalmist compares it to another situation that's going on in the same verse. And he's comparing two different situations here. Blessed, oh, the joy of the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. See, that's the opposite end of the stick. So you got two choices, really just two choices in all of your life. Put the Lord your trust or not. And the not is the pride or the false gods. But the interjection comes because of those who put their trust in God, whose trust is in the Lord. Oh, there's another road you can travel on, the psalmist is saying. It's the road of pride and false gods. But I don't know what kind of interjection that would be. Maybe one I can't say in public. I don't know. But it's not. Oh, the joy! So the psalmist wants us to know that there's two different roads we can travel on. There is God, who is our trust, or there is pride. The pride, and we see it in the scripture, we see that the act of the haughty, the raising of oneself. And we know that part of the homework this past week is there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Number one, haughty eyes or pride. And I don't know about you, but when I see that God hates something, I want to know why he hates it. That's a pretty strong statement. And so I just can't let it down because I'm wondering why God hates pride. Why does God hate haughty eyes? Why does God hate the other road? Why does God hate the other road of false gods, of the proud or the pride? Why does God hate that road? Why does he love this road that is those who trust in him? And why does he hate this road that is labeled pride or haughty eyes? Why does God hate that? Do you ever wonder that? I mean, there's not many scriptures that God says God hates. I could preach for 25 years on the verses that says God loves. And I want to, and I will, and I'm not going to camp on. But when I see something where God hates, that kind of zeroes me in because it's kind of like a zebra in the Pennsylvania woods. It's not something you don't see very often. So I'm drawn to that. And they go, why do you hate pride, God? Why do you hate pride? And I come to the conclusion because it promotes, it's a false God advocate. Because it speaks in favor of false gods. And I'm going to try to make sense of that. But I think it says, come on over here. I know there's a, but you need to be on this road. You need to be on this road called haughty eyes. The enemy wants you to be on the road called Haughty Eyes. God said, I hate that. Man, I hate that road. I hate that road. And the enemy said, come on over here. Get over here. Come on over here. And his pride is just the false God advocate. Said, yeah, come on over here. Walk on this road. Who needs God? Aren't you a big boy? Can't you put on your big girl pants? Can't you tie your own shoes? What do you need that road? Well, don't you were raised different than that. You stand up. You do that. And you get all, you know, you're little George Jefferson going on there. That wasn't on the quiz yesterday either, and I'd have known that one. Because it promotes false gods. It promotes, push the button, it promotes yourself. It promotes your ability. It promotes your bank account. It promotes your success. It promotes your failure. You can't go down that road. You failed too many times. You need to stay on this road until you get it right. God doesn't want you on the road of God. His trust, you haven't got it right enough. You know how many times you fail. You need to stay on this road until you prove yourself. And then maybe you'll get called up on the other road called his trust. But I doubt it. That's the false gods speaking, saying, come on, stay on this road. And your family name and your country or your color or your gender or your relationships. Stand over here because you're this or that. Because you live in this country or you're this color or you're that color. You don't need that road. And I've shared this before, but I went to see a guy in prison for many days, many months. And I sat down with him week after week after week in Huntington Prison, and he would come out. And I said, what do the guys think of what you're coming out here and talking to me? He said, they think I'm weak. They think I need to pull up my own pants and tie my own shoes. You need to stay on this road. Prove yourself a man. Then maybe you can join God's team. And God says, man, I hate it when that happens. It does not matter. The enemy just wants something other than God to go and drive your life and to lead you in life. The blessing that is being realized is only on the road called God is my trust. I can preach a message on God reigns on the wicked and the righteous. The crops grow. You know, I might be a guy who goes to church every single time the doors are open and I'm walking it out with God and my neighbor doesn't care one iota. And I got as many weeds as he's got in my garden. God, can you just kind of weed my garden? God said, that's not, I just bless everybody and that's part of life. And rain falls on his garden and you need to weed your garden as well. But just so you know, the blessing as I'm talking about today and the psalmist is talking about are not on this road. They were only on this road. They were only on the road called trust in him. He is my trust. You know why God hates this road? You know why God hates this road over here? Because he wants to do something in your life, but the something is on this road. And God says, like, it doesn't fall on that road. It falls on this road. You're going to need to make a choice between the roads that you're going to walk on. You're going to need to make a choice and listen to me that I want you to walk on the road called He is my trust. Come on now. Yeah, you are knitted together and you are amazing and You can push the button. You're knitted together, and you are amazing, and you're a God of the most, you're a child of the Most High God, and you're a friend of Christ, and you are chosen, and you are co-heirs with Christ, and you are a new creation. You're alive with Christ. You are raised up with Christ. You are seated in the heavenlies with Christ, and you are a member of God's household. But you ain't God. Only the blessings that God wants to pour into our lives that fall on the road called His trust. He is my trust. And the psalmist is very convinced of that, that he has to start this verse 4 off with an interjection. Blessed! Oh, the joy of those that make the Lord their trust. I am not God and you are not God. You can be a control freak and you're pretty miserable at it. As a matter of fact, you stink at being a control freak. I like the people say, well, I'm a control freak. And I said, you need to give that job to somebody else because you really aren't doing very well with it. And if you think you know all the answers, wow, I don't even know all the questions. And you can know all the answers and not even know all the questions. That's pretty remarkable. And God says, I know those things, and I know, and I know, and I know, and I want to bless you. And pride will convince you to go on the other path and steer your own life. Because pride is an advocate of false gods. And God said, I hate that. Psalm 40 verse 1 says this, I wait patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Let me give you what the psalmist believes, I believe, is what's not on this path and what is on this path and what God wants to bless you with today, what God wants to pour into your life today and every day as we walk on the path of His trust is mine. I trust Him. I'm going to walk on this road trusting God. Flipping back to verse 1, he says, I wait patiently for the Lord. You can push the button. This is what I think pride does. Pride moves me away from God. And trust moves me closer to God. I wait patiently for the Lord. Pride, this road right here will give. I gave God a chance and he didn't move. He didn't do it in my timing. He didn't do it in whatever. And in that road, we'll move to that road. We'll move, pride will move you away from God. You'll get convinced that you don't need God. You'll live a life like, I don't need God. You'll try to convince yourself, I don't need God. You'll get angry with God at times, but you'll believe that you don't need God. That's your pride pushing you to a road called false gods. And God hates it when you walk on that road. Why? Because He wants to show Himself real to you and I. He wants to show Himself real to me and to you. And pride moves us away from God. He said, I wait patiently for God because this path is going to show me God. And I'm going to move closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to God. You'll try to jump ahead of Him. And you'll think He's moving too slow or in the wrong direction. And you'll jump ship. And God says, I hate it when that happens. Because I want to show you, new lifers. I want to show you that I'm real. You're going to have to trust me that if you walk on the road called my trust is in Him, you will see that I'm real. Don't give up on me, because I'm guaranteeing you on the road called trust in me, you'll see me. And the enemy is going to be hounding you all the time, and your pride, go to the other road. You've given God long enough. Go to the other road. You got to do it. You got to take things into your own hands. Just so you know, God will never say that to you. take things into your own hands. He'll say, let me carry that for you. Let me bring victory in that. Let's go together. Let's rise up together. But he will never say, take it into your own hands. And I'm certain with every interjection I can muster right now that God wants to show you who he is. And it's on the road called his trust. It's not on this road. That blessing is limited to this road. Verse 1 just says, continues. It says, I wait patiently for the Lord. He turns to me and heard my cry. The blessing that God wants to pour onto you is on the next slide. You can push it. Pride will keep me from recognizing his presence, and trust will cause me to know his presence. The powerful moment on Thursday night in my living room with the guys, and somebody struggling with a really just a nerve-wracking sickness in their life, one you're not just going to go and get a pill for. And testimony after testimony of guys not saying, suck it up, but guys saying, man, I walked that path and I felt a peace like I never knew before. God had convinced me that I wasn't going to be able to do it alone, but somehow my nerves were a wreck. Somehow I knew I could rest in his arms. You know why? Because you were experiencing his presence. You weren't on the road called pride and arrogance and false gods. You were on the road called God. Trust in him. It was just such a beautiful sight to see that young man who's going to walk a lot of perhaps sicknesses and a lot of treatments and a lot of things. It was just a beautiful sight just to see him sit there and absorb the truth from the men that had went ahead of him. And not men like we can be sometimes, but men of God. I'm telling us today, new lifers, I'm telling us that God wants to show you who he is, and he wants you to know his presence. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, stay on this road, you will. I wait patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and he heard my cry. You can push the button. Pride will cause me to bark commands at God. Trust will cause me to cry out to a living God. There's a pretty big difference between, and on this road, you'll command God, you better show up, God, you better do this, God, now's the time, God. On this road, you're just on your knees in front of an omnipresent God, all-loving God, powerful God who is revealing his presence to you. And all of a sudden, you just find yourself crying out to him. The commands are left for that road. The cry is left for this road. You know why God hates this road? Because God doesn't want to be commanded. Because you start commanding God, God's thinking you got a better thought than he does. And he loves you too much to let that go on. But he loves it when people just come up, just cry out in his very presence and cry out to him. Interjection, no doubt. Motivated by feeling, no doubt. Motivated by emotion, no doubt. Motivated by a cognitive occurrence, no doubt. Blessed, oh, the benefits of those who let God be their trust. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. This was mentioned in men's group, as I mentioned, the slimy pit. And Jeff said, that's because you can't get out of it. Slimy. You can't crawl out of the edge of it. And not only is it slimy, but it's full. Put it back. Not only is it slimy, but it's full of mud and mire. It's literally sucking the life out of you. And part of the blessing that God wants us to know is that he's real. Part of the blessing that God wants us to know that he'll hear us. He picks us up. He hears our cries. That he wants us to know his very presence. But he also wants us to know, I can get you out of the slimy pit. This road, you'll learn to live with it. Because this road won't take you out of the pit. And you'll get the attitude, yeah, I'm tougher than the pit. That's just stupid. In the pits of life, you can push the button. The pits of life are what? The pits of life are lostness or woundedness or addiction or pain or grief or rejection or depression or bad choices. Or on and on and on and on. Some of us have been locked in a pit. God said, I want to take you out of the pit. I want to take you out of the pit of addiction or out of the pit of grief or out of the pit of rejection or depression or your own bad choices. Pride keeps me in the pit. Trust lifts me out of the pit. You can push the button. Pride keeps me in the pit. God said, I hate that road because there's no taking people out of the pit on that road. And I want to take people out of the slimy muck and the mire pit. He lifts me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and the mire. He sets my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. Pride keeps me unsteady and trust makes me steady. Walk it out. Walk out this road. Let me jump to verse 3. It says this. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Pride does this. You could push the button. Pride keeps me stale and trust will fill me with a fresh anointing. I got to ask one more time, am I making any sense today? And know why God hates that road? Because he wants to give you a fresh anointing. He doesn't want you to eat stale, old, outdated stuff. You know, one thing I like to hear is other people's testimonies, and I like to see what other people are doing, and I like to read testimonies of those that have gone in the past, but I've said this a few years ago, I'm tired of living on someone else's testimony. I want my own anointing. And God says, I want you to have your own anointing. But it's on the road called trust in me. Pride will take you off of this road, and trust in me will keep you on this road. He put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Pride will oppress my light, and trust will light me up. I'm telling you, it's true. Don't make me sing the song, right? This little light of mine. The enemy said, will you please get that thing under a bushel basket? God says, I want to light you up. I want to send you in places where the light is going to defeat the darkness. And then look into verse 4 again. Oh, the joy of the people who make the Lord their trust. Who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. No wonder he comes up with an interjection. Oh! Woo! Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you plan for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak of them and tell them, they would be too many to declare. Pride will make me blind, and trust will give me eyes to see. You want to see? You want to see what God wants you to see? It's on that road. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak of them, they would be too many to declare. Pride will limit my life, and trust will give me vision. You want to move from one road to the other? You're in 100% agreement with God right now. If that answer is yes, I don't care where you are on this road or how long you've been on this road. If you say, you know what, enough is enough, and I don't know, I just want to step over there today. You qualify. Not because of who you are, it's because of who he is. It's not because of what you've done, it's because of what he's done. And he said, you can step over there. Look at, I want to finish with this one verse of this psalm. And I couldn't preach through Psalm all 40. We would be here until the Bills win the Super Bowl.
Keep on preaching. Keep on preaching. Keep on preaching.
Security to the Dallas Cowboy fans. Security to the Dallas Cowboys.
Keep on preaching.
God wants us on this road. It's so powerful. Look what he says in 13. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to move me from one road to the other. That's what I want. So here we go. We're 20 seconds, it feels like, from finishing here today. You're on this road? You're somewhere in between. There. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. I'm done, Lord. I'm done being on this road. Come quickly, Lord, and move me from one road to another. Because from this day forth, I'm going to walk on the road. The Lord is my trust. I want to see you, God. I want to experience your presence. I want you to take me out of the slimy pit. I want you to set my feet on a new rock. I want you to move me. I want you to give me vision. I want you to make my light shine. You know why God hates this road? Because it does away with all of those things that God wants for your life. The blessing that I'm talking about today is only on this road. How about a new life? Defeat the pride by crying out to the living God, move me from one road to the other, God. How about it? Would you stand with me today? God, you are so amazing that you would want a guy like me. Not only would you want a guy like me to walk on the road called trust in him, but you made everything possible for people like us to walk on a road where we're going to get to see you and know that you're real, experience your presence. Be extracted from the slimy pits. Be extracted from those things that are sucking the life right out of us. Not only that, not just taking us out, but setting us on a rock, higher, firm, steady. And then lighting us up. Maybe even beyond, which some of us experienced this, maybe all of us this week. to a new rock that's definitely higher than us. And I can see, we can see differently than we saw last week. God, I think, I know that everyone in this room is being called by you to walk on the road called His trust. At this very moment, not later on, not next week, at this very moment, I believe you're inviting everyone, everyone, to walk on the road called trust in me. So, Father, help us. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for hating the other road. Thank you for interjections. Father, we're going to open our eyes. We're going to say amen and open our eyes, and we're going to gather up our stuff, and we're going to endeavor to get to our vehicle with all of our children. We're going to endeavor to take the steps in this day. May what started here today not be able to be thwarted by the enemy. Keep us very aware of this road and help us in the next weeks ahead of us to build on this road and to walk on this road and help the testimonies flow of the life that is coming into us and through us. Father, I thank you for so much for that. Here we go, Lord. We released our worship. We released the word. Now it's time to release the church back into our families and back into our communities and back into the places that so desperately need Jesus. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.